Anybody need the Lord this morning?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. As you get settled, I'm going to ask Kim Pasolano to come up. Sorry. It's okay. She's going to do scripture reading for me today. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to follow, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. Starting at verse 14, okay? So, Kim, would you be kind enough to read the Word of God?
After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news.
Amen. Short but powerful message, right? Sometimes I'm a creature of habit. I forgot to turn the candles on. How's that? Okay. That better? I won't. We're continuing the series in how to share the gospel in a fast-changing world. This is so crucial for today. I want to describe a world to you, and you tell me if it sounds familiar, okay? How about a world in which there are so many worldviews, nobody knows what to believe anymore? You realize that in some of those worldviews, call good evil and evil good, right? That was a prophecy of Isaiah, by the way. And imagine a world where you're being taxed at every turn financially. Sometimes overtaxed, right? Imagine a world where 48 to 50-hour work weeks were more common than uncommon. Right? Some of you do that. Some of you do that more, right? Imagine a world where the cross of Jesus Christ wasn't welcome anymore. Sound familiar? That's exactly the time Jesus lived in. It's exactly the time that Jesus lived in. You know, Solomon was right when he said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Jesus walked this earth with all those problems. The fact of the matter is most people rejected him. And they rejected him and they rejected his message. Now, some people will say, well, you can reject the message without rejecting the person. Well, you see, Jesus was the message. Not only did he say it, he lived it. He was fully God in the flesh. So in our vernacular today, we would say that most people saw Jesus as offensive. Doesn't ring true with us because we're on the other side of this, correct? But you know, Facebook monitors all the posts to see if there's any hate speech in them, correct? And that's a good thing. But who defines what hate speech is these days? Right? Bless you. The point I'm trying to make is this, that the times of Jesus, they were different in some ways, but very similar in another ways. One of the ways we're dissimilar is that today, both our young and older people, I want to underline that, both our young and older people are looking to Google and YouTube to get answers to questions. Questions about life. How do we make sense of all that's going on around us? How do we make sense of it? We all know that there's some good information on the internet, but we know there's a lot of bad information on the internet. Now, if you look up topics like heaven and hell and Christianity or Judaism or whatever you put in there, you're going to get a billion different views on all of that. And the real question comes up is, what do you believe? Sociologically, here's what's happening. Our people, young and old, okay, our people are getting so much information and so inundated and overwhelmed, this is actually producing anxiety in people. Anxiety like I've never seen before in all my years of ministry. How would you feel if 24 hours a day you had just tons of information coming at you? You can't process it. And then you go on the internet and you say, Lord, or internet, you know, I'm trying to make sense out of how, you know, why people are so intolerant today, why people are so this today, why am I like I am? And here's the fact of the matter we need to own up to. The fact of the matter is this, is that many people today are getting discipled by the screens they have in front of them. That's the truth. So what do you believe? Who do you believe? Which is even more of a question. Here's how this comes down, okay? Jesus comes on the scene, just like he does today, by the way, through his church. He comes on the scene, and John the Baptist was just put in prison for preaching that same message. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here. Why was John put in prison? Do you remember? He was offensive to the king. And to the king and his wife. He was offensive. And the reason why he was offensive to the king is because the king married his brother's wife. He had his brother killed. And he married Herod, right? He married the king's wife. And John knew it. And John just said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And boy, Herod became offended, put John in prison. Well, shortly before that, Jesus was baptized by John, not because Jesus had any sin or anything like that, but Jesus wanted to identify with us. And so Jesus now starts his ministry. And the first words of his ministry were read for you before. Here they are. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Good news. Good news. You know what the word is in the original language? Euangelion, which means gospel. The good news. Good tidings, it could be pronounced. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Some translations would say the kingdom of God is here. Okay? Repent and believe the good news. So what's this all about? Why would these words cause such an uproar? Here's why. People back in Jesus' day was looking for answers. The Jews were under oppression by the Roman government. They were being overtaxed. Their kids were getting drafted into an army that they didn't even want to support. Rome was not friendly to them, only if they did things Rome's way. And not only that, they had a religious system that failed. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. It failed. Why did it fail? Because it became all about them and not about God. It became all about, look how holy I am. Look at what you, and you need to imitate me. The fact of the matter is, no one is that holy. The only holy one is God. The only holy one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than the Pharisees pointing people to the grace of God, pointing people to the good news of God, they laid extra legalistic burdens on them that pulled them down rather than raised them up. So the religious system failed. The political system failed the people. The economic system failed the people. These are themes that are still around today, aren't they? So here's the question I want to ask this morning. If Jesus came in to this room, and this room were full of normal people, I use that word. Regular people, how's that? Regular people. And he said these words, what would they mean? I want to submit to you, sometimes we get confused on what they mean. Let me frame this out for you. There is the system of the world. System of the world has been around ever since the fall. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. The system of the world is what you see around you, okay? Here's what the Apostle John said about the world system in 1 John. He says, all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Get that? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. That doesn't mean that our culture or the everything in the world is bad necessarily. It just means that the worldview is motivated by those three factors. Now, you're going to hear me use the word worldview a lot. Everybody has a worldview. Everyone does. There's no exceptions. It just matters what worldview you have. If you have a secular worldview, every decision that you make is going to be based on that secular worldview. If you have an atheistic worldview, every decision you make is going to be based on an atheistic worldview. If you have a biblical worldview, the decisions that you make are going to be based on a biblical worldview. Everybody's got a worldview. And somebody will always say, well, I don't have a worldview. Yeah, you do. You get up every day, you watch television, you go on the internet, you go to school, you go to work. Yeah, you got a worldview. You just don't, you haven't identified it yet. So, all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. Here's why I know John's correct. Because you and I are inundated with commercials to buy products that we usually don't need, that we think we have to have in order to make us happy, and we buy it with money that we don't have. And advertisers are very good at this. They're very good at this. Let me give you another caveat here, okay? A non-biblical worldview sounds so convincing that it's easier to believe than the truth. And there's a reason for that. Because when Adam disobeyed God in the garden, he bought into a lie. And that lie originated with Satan that said, you can be like God or better than God. And because we inherit a sinful nature, we are more apt to believe a lie than the truth. That's why there's a conflict of kingdoms here. When Jesus came on the scene and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Now you had the world system and the kingdom of God. Wow. So, remember in one of the most famous scriptures that most people memorize if they've read the Bible is the Our Father, correct? Many of you can probably recite it. There's a verse in there that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. I want to suggest to you that we can't pray that unless we're willing to open our hearts to Jesus and say, you're going to be the king of all areas of my life, Lord Jesus. Because that's where the kingdom starts. I give you permission to rule every area of my life. Not just me going to church on Sunday, but me in the classroom, me in the workplace, me with my family, me in the community, me playing sports, whatever it may be, Lord, I give you permission to rule in those areas. What Jesus was saying here is, he gives an invitation of love, not confrontation, of love. He's saying, you know what the world has to offer. Here's what the world has to offer. Bottom line, confusion, anxiety, high blood pressure, ulcers. I mean, I can go on and on and on. That's what the world has to offer. Drug addiction, alcoholism. I mean, where do you want me to stop? Immorality? Pornography? I mean, we can go on and on. Jesus is saying, I came to invite you into a better way. Into a better way. And he's saying, look, by faith, turn from the world's way. That's what repentance is. Turn to me. Believe in me. Just simple faith. That's the good news. And you enter now into the kingdom of God. We think that when Jesus speaks about the kingdom, he's only speaking about heaven. No, he's not. He's speaking about heaven in the long range, but he's speaking about the here and now. Why else would he say the kingdom of God is here? It's here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, we've become so confused by the world system. We don't eat. I'll give you some examples, okay? And please, hear these things with an open mind. We don't even know about the sacredness of marriage anymore. Why get married? What does a piece of paper mean? Oh, it's more than that. Most people are delaying marriage, by the way, into their 30s, sometimes in their 40s, because they're afraid of commitment. Or they don't get married at all. And that's another whole set of issues. Well, marriage is antiquated. Is it really? We're confused as to what we think about marriage. We're confused as to what we think about the sanctity of life. Isn't that true? What did God say to Jeremiah? He said to Jeremiah, before you were conceived, Jeremiah, I knew you. I knew you. We're confused about gender. Right? As far as I know, God makes male and female. As far as I know, they stay male and female. Okay? I mean, we're confused about technology. Listen to me. With the medical technology we have today, and even the other technology that we have today, we no longer have the moral base in our country to handle the ethical problems that go with that. Can you imagine if Adolf Hitler had the technology of today with gene manipulation? Can you imagine what would happen? Some of us wouldn't be here. Some of us wouldn't be here. I mean, we're confused about everything these days. We're confused about what family looks like. We're confused about church. We're confused about God. Whose God do we believe? Why is it that we let the media, the talk shows, the screens, disciple us and get us to believe lies? And Jesus comes, non-confrontational, by the way, and he extends the invitation and he says, come on, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a way. It's not easier. I don't want to leave that impression. It's not easier, but it's better. Do you want peace? He says, follow me and I'll give you peace. Because freedom and peace is all caught up in loving obedience to the one who died for me on the cross. That's where peace comes from. You know what else we're confused about? Our identity. I was thinking about this morning. We have some law enforcement here and some retired law enforcement. When you're in law enforcement, even when you're off duty, you have an ID, right? You have a badge and an ID that says, you know, I'm a police officer or state trooper or whatever. And here's where we get confused. We confuse what we do as our identity. Now, what you do to put bread on the table, okay? It's important, but you do that, put bread on the table. We don't even know where our identity lays anymore. Jesus is saying, let your identity be rooted in the kingdom of God. Because once you trust him as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a new identity. An identity no one could ever take away from you. An identity that will never change. You know, in this country, we were so caught up on beauty and all. You know, you buy $1 million worth of cosmetics. Believe me, they don't help sometimes, okay? I'm sorry. I had to say that. But we'll spend millions of dollars on stuff that make us look better because we think Our identity is in our looks. We think our identity is in our jobs. We think our identity is in our bank account. We think our identity is in the car we drive. And Jesus is saying, no, that's superficial stuff. Because, you know, if your identity is in your looks, you know what's going to happen? Gravity takes over. Okay? If you think your identity is in your bank account, man, the stock market could tank tomorrow. Then what do you do? You think your identity is in the car you drive? Well, you know, miss a couple of payments and that gets repossessed, okay? You probably couldn't afford it anyhow. He says, no, I come to offer you something better. A while ago, I had business cards printed. They were up here. Oh, okay. Caleb, would you run them up to me? And it's got the name of the church and the phone number on the front, but on the back, and I feel very strongly in this. This is in our window on the other side, by the way. It talks about where our real identity should lay. And it says, by faith in Christ, that is, when we have come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, here's who we are. We're a child of God. Nothing could ever change that. We've been redeemed by Jesus. If you were the only one on the face of this earth, he would still come die for you and your sin. You've been redeemed. You are forgiven. Sin past, present, and future. You're more than a conqueror. You have great purpose. You have a great destiny. And you are defined by God and God alone. And the kingdom of heaven is no such thing as a loser. Can I repeat that? In the kingdom of heaven, there is no such thing as a loser. Kingdom living offers us real identity, clarity in life. Not that we have all the answers, but we can start with the help of the scriptures and studying the scriptures, studying together, growing together. We can start to make sense out of this crazy world, at least some sense, but realize it's not running amok, that God is still in charge. He is still in charge. We can have real and lasting peace and joy. Not to be confused with happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy and peace come from a settled and a dynamic love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ that is ongoing and growing. And through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, He can help form in us a biblical worldview. That takes time, a biblical worldview. I'm going to make this offer this morning. And I've offered this before, but I want to make it offer. There's our young people corner over here as part of them. Part of them are spread here. But it's not just for the young people. This is for the older people too. But this is especially for high school students, if you wish. The writer of Ecclesiastes, who's Solomon, but he adopts a name in the book. And in the Hebrew, the name means the teacher who calls a group together. Okay? In the Hebrew, it's Kehilith. Assemble a group together for one purpose, to talk about the wisdom of God and to develop a godly and biblical worldview. Here's my invitation. You ever want to have a cup of coffee and talk about the issues of life? Let's do it. Let's grow together. You open the scriptures and see what the scriptures have to say about these things. Let's do that. Dave Ramsey did that financially, right? With financial peace. He opened the scriptures and he says, what do the scriptures say about how to be good stewards of money? Do you realize the Bible talks more about money than any other topic in the Bible? You know why? Because money's an indicator of where our heart is. Where you spend your money, that's where your heart is. Okay? And so we can open the Bible together and say, well, what about this? What about abortion? You know, what about this whole gender issue? What about whatever issue that you're wrestling with? Euthanasia. What about that? I mean, there's a whole lot of issues. I don't pretend to have all the answers here, but we can grow together. We can seek God together. We can see what His Word has, and there are. I can tell you this: whatever light that God puts on those subjects, far better than what the world can offer. Far better. I can also tell you this: the key to peace in this crazy, chaotic world is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a love affair, period. He loves us more than we could ever know. So, I'm running out of time, but we're going to pick up on some of this next week. I believe that most of our growing spiritually done for us is done more informally than formally. Like I like Sunday school. We learn a lot in Sunday school. But sometimes to refine those things, it's good to sit down over a cup of coffee and say, yeah, I'd like to have some more questions about that. And you know what? Here's where we've gone wrong in the past. Anytime I lead a group, I will always say to the group, there's no such thing as a dumb question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Joey's raising his hand in the back here. There's no such thing as a dumb question. I may give you a dumb answer, but there's no such thing as a dumb question. That's because if you have a question, it's chance that somebody else has the same question is not asking it. So we can learn from the questions. We can learn. And when we come across instances where we say, gee, I just don't know, we can be honest enough and say, I just don't know. But we don't learn in a vacuum. We learn when we open God's Word and we see how it applies to what we're struggling with today. You know what Jesus' answer to the taxation issue was? Very simple. Give to Caesar what's due Caesar's. Give to God what's due God's. Well, that's pretty simple, right? You know what his answer to marriage was? For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and cleave to his wife. And then what he said, he attaches a kind of a corollary to that. He says, let nothing divide that marriage. Okay. That sounds pretty serious to me. But Jesus says, as you learn to love him and you learn to love one another, as you grow closer to him, you're going to grow closer to each other. That's a pretty good thing. Right? I mean, we can go on and on, but this is the invitation I want to offer you today. I'll sit down with anybody, have a cup of coffee with them. Now, here's where I draw the line. If you just want to have a cup of coffee to argue a point that you feel strongly about, I'll listen to you, but that's not going to be real productive. If you want to come and talk and be open to the scripture, now we can talk. Now we can talk. At least we have to come to the scriptures and say, yeah, God has something to say about this. And since he's God, we need to take it seriously. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now you're saying, I can hear some of you saying, well, Lord, how do we share the gospel, the good news? Glad tidings in such a stressful time in these changing times. It takes hard work. It takes time. It takes building relationships. It takes trust, getting to a point in a relationship where you've earned a right to talk about these issues. It takes time and it takes hard work. Listen, there used to be a day in our country where you can talk about God bring people to Billy Graham crusades. Remember those days? They still do those crusades, but have you noticed the trend? They're not on television anymore. You don't see crusades on television anymore. They used to be able to broadcast that. You don't see that anymore. You see repeats sometimes, but you don't see what's happening. There's a lot of people out there doing good work. Franklin Graham, William Graham, Louis Palau, Louis Giglio, Greg Laurie. They're all doing great work out there. There used to be a day where if a crusade came or a meeting came to town, people looked forward to it. Now they're picketed. Was no different in Jesus' day. You know what happened when Paul came into a strange town? He got pushback. And he got grief. And here's where we go wrong. First sign of pushback or first sign of grief, we want to give up. Well, what's the use? God's still in control. We don't give up. We stay faithful to him. We love people. We build relationships with them. And we have to work hard at that so we can earn the right to say to people, look, Jesus some years ago invited me into a better way. This world is confusing, but there's a better way. Jesus says, turn from this. Turn to him in faith. Become part of the kingdom of God. That's the better way. We'll expand a little bit more on this next week. So I'm going to ask this question in closing. Are we, with God's help, are we up to the task at hand? Our culture is going to a point, or is progressing to a point, where it wants to limit the proclamation of the gospel to the walls of the churches. Well, fine, if it's going that way, that means you and I have to work hard at building relationships outside the church. Are you and I willing to believe by faith and obedience that the kingdom living here and now is much more rewarding than submitting to the world system? Something that we have to consider as we come to the Lord's table. We live in a country that wants quick answers. In the kingdom of God, there's no quick answers. But I know this, God is not the author of confusion. He's not. You know who is? Satan. Satan thrives on confusion.